Constancy. If you're not familiar with Calvary Chapel, we go through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, what we is known as expository study. The reason why we go for the expository study instead of topical study is because we believe that expository study gives us a full counsel of God. And we need everything from the Word of God. Some people say, well, I don't agree with some portion of the Bible. Guess what? Either you take the whole thing or you don't take at all. It's not a buffet table. It's a full course table. So we will start at the verse 40, chapter 41. But there's a dreams of Pharaoh. It's repeated about three times. So for the time's sake, we are going to skip a couple of them. All right, we'll start. Who hasn't heard the story and got excited about the Cinderella story when we were a kid? Of course, the Cinderella who was mistreated by the stepmother, that mean, ugly stepmother and ugly sisters. And, of course, there is a help from the fairy godmother's magic and her animals. And she got to meet this Mr. Prince, good-looking prince, and they dance the night away. Well, almost, not quite. You know the story. We have a better story than Cinderella's story. As a matter of fact, it's part of Jewish history, not just story. It's about the Joseph whom we have been studying about. Joseph was betrayed by his brother at age 17, and he was sold to the slave trader, Ishmaelite, and was sent to Egypt, and he was sold to the Mr. Potiphar, who was the captain of the guard. When the time passed, and Mrs. Potiphar, who didn't have anything better to do, he casting longing eyes upon this young, good-looking man, and she made a sexual advance. When he refused, and she charged him rape charge, and falsely, and he ended up in the prison. Inside of the prison, and he was ministering to the other people, even though he was a prisoner. For some time later, then he had a chance to interpret the dreams of the chief baker and chief butler of Pharaoh. And it came to true, and one of them got released, one of them got hanged. One of them got hung, I guess. And the one who got released is chief butler. And, of course, Joseph asked him, remember me when you go near the Pharaoh. Guess what? He had a temporary amnesia last about 2 years. Joseph must be wondered what's going on for these 2 years. And he was wondering, am I ever going to see the daylight outside this prison? But God has planned. The one thing we should notice is throughout the entire this 13 years journey, God was with Joseph every step of the way. When God is in the plan, we never know what's going to happen. Because we have to follow God instead of trying to concoct our own style, our own scheme. The more impossible situation is, the more glory God receives. And it's not easy for us to take that situation and just trust that God's going to make everything happen to us. While we are waiting, he formed us into the way he wants us to be. God does not come 1 minute before. God doesn't come 1 minute later. He is always on time. He teaches us to hold on to the faith in him. It's not about faith in faith, but the faith in him. Since the scripture explain to us about his dream, then we'll just read that portion. We'll start at the verse 9, and we'll pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking your guidance, and open our heart to receive your wisdom, and let us receive your truth, that we may exalt you when the time comes when we can apply this in our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 9 of chapter 41. Then chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my fault this day when the Pharaoh was angry with his servant and put me in custody in the house of a captain of a guard, both me and the chief baker. We each had a dream in one night, and he and I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man with us there, servant of a captain of the guard. And we told him that he interpreted our dream for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, he hanged him. Pharaoh woke up, took recap over from verse 1 to verse 8. Pharaoh woke up one morning in the middle of the night, and he had this dream, because there's seven cows, real fat and a sleek-looking cow. He was standing at the Nile River. They came out of the river, and all of a sudden, followed by the seven gaunt and the real skinny cow came up, and they ate the other cow. It's a really having cow day. And this cow didn't even look like they ate anything. And followed by another dream is the seven good plumped stalk. The grain head was coming out from the one stalk. However, the seven blight grain head came right after and swallowed up the first seven grains and still looked like they didn't have anything. And Pharaoh woke up. So he called all the magicians and the wise man in his payroll and asked them, what is going on? What is my dream means? And they could not interpret. And all of a sudden, this chief butler come out of this Green Valley moment and said, oh yeah, I know what that means. There is somebody who can interpret that thing. I'm going to get a letter for that kind of comment. Why did God allow this 2 years period to stay there? Why didn't he do something about it? See, in our heart, God isn't doing nothing. Is it really doing nothing? He is doing something. He was preparing Joseph into the way he wanted him to be. Because at that point, if God pulled Joseph out of the dungeon, he wouldn't be ready. But while he was going through this difficult, monotonous 2 years period, day in, day out, he was learning the way of God. Let's face it, folks. Do you like waiting? I don't. The last thing I have in mind is waiting for something. Why do you think we have a microwave? Why do you think we have a fast lane? A lot of times a fast lane doesn't mean anything. And everything about our lives is a fast, instant. We don't want to wait. But while we wait, God formed us in the shape of Jesus Christ. That's the whole idea. He's shaping us, chiseling us. All the garbage stuff we have in our lives, he's chiseling away and making it the form of Jesus, image of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be more like Jesus Christ, less like ourselves. Amen. He's developing our character. Verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. He shaved clean, changed his clothing, came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of me, said of you, that you can understand a dream and to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Just put yourself in the Joseph's center for a moment. You are in the dungeon, and one day the door flung open, and the guards from the Pharaoh's palace came in and said, Pharaoh wants to see you. First of all, he looked dirty, so they had to give him a bath. And by the way, when you look at some of the Egyptian mural, you will see a lot of them has a bald head, or they have this funny-looking green thing on their head. It's not a hair. One thing the Egyptians were afraid was lice. If they take a bath so often, they wouldn't have a problem, but I guess they didn't think about that. So what they did is they shaved their hair, woman and man equally, and they put the hair garment on top of their head. Anyways, he had to shave and change his clothes and showed up. And when he walked into the court of the Pharaoh, and there is a chief butler. Oh yeah. I asked you to bring me out for 2 years ago. Now you're remembering. He couldn't say some resentful word, but yet he didn't say one word against this man. You know why he didn't? Because he didn't keep his eyes on the butler, but he kept his eyes on who? God. Amen. Pharaoh gave this golden opportunity to Joseph to make himself available for this whatever is coming up and make himself to be a real opportunity and bring himself some sort of glory to himself. However, we notice that it is not in me, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph may want to make sure the truth, if there is any truth comes, it is comes from God, not from him. That is very important for all of us. If we do anything good, remember, it is not you nor me. It is God. Because every good and perfect gift that James says comes from heaven above, not from us. Joseph seems wiser and even humble when he is presenting this interpretation to Pharaoh. Remember last time when he was interpreting the dream, his own dream, as a matter of fact, when he was 17 years old, he kind of bragged about it to his brother. What was the result? He ended up in the pit. So this time he said, oh, I'm going to kind of skedaddle behind and I'm not going to stick my neck out this much. All right. Joseph clearly understand truth comes from God, not him. He didn't use this gift of interpretation of the dream as some sort of bargaining chip for his own freedom. Verse 25, and Joseph, let's go down, move down to verse 25. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, dream of Pharaoh are one. God has shown the Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good calves are 7 years, and seven good heads are the 7 years, and dreams of one. Seven thin and ugly calves which came up after the seven good them are the 7 years, I'm sorry. Seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are the 7 years of famine. This is the things which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown the Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt, but after the 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because the famine following. For it will be the very severe. And the dreams are repeated to Pharaoh twice because the things established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Even at the end of the interpretation, Joseph is asking Pharaoh to focus on God, not himself. We'll continue in verse 33. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let the Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officer over the land and to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. Let them gather all the food those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh. Let him keep the food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. Joseph is showing his boldness and gift about administration. Any good administrator would not bring this kind of news without some kind of solution or suggestion to make this happen. So we'll find out what the reaction from the Pharaoh, verse 37. So advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such one, a man, underline please, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? It's very important. Then the Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning, as wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And the Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." When Joseph counseled Pharaoh, he spoke directly. And he was not handing out the resume, or he was posting his resume on monster.com website. So he was not looking for the position. He was simply passing the message. Again, he was not going for position. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, please. If you're trying to make yourself known to other people, guess what? You might get that position. But it's better for you to wait upon God. It says promotion does not come from man, but it comes from God. So let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 5, please. Are you there? All right. "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hands of God. He may exalt you in what? Due time, according to God's time, casting all your cares upon you, upon him, for he cares for you." All right, let's go back to the Genesis 40. Refined quality of discernment and humility shown through this Joseph. And he didn't have to advertise, "I am the man. I am the man of our." Pharaoh could see that. So he appointed Joseph into the position. Verse 38, I ask you on the line, "A man in whom is the Spirit of God?" This is the first scripture mentioned about the Holy Spirit coming upon the man in the Old Testament. Folks, none of us can do anything right unless Holy Spirit empowers us. There's three things Holy Spirit do. Holy Spirit is with us, Holy Spirit is in us, Holy Spirit is upon us. Okay, number one, Holy Spirit is with us. Holy Spirit is God. He's a Trinity, Spirit of living God. Don't ever let any cult tell you Holy Spirit is a force. Force be with you. Blah. What an idiot comment that is. That's a movie thing. Holy Spirit is not a force. Holy Spirit is Him, is a Godhead, member of the Trinity. Holy Spirit is with us. He is, because He is God, one of His attributes is omnipresent God. He is with us all, anywhere, all over. Holy Spirit is in us. If you become a Jesus Christ follower, if you are born again Christian, Holy Spirit come into our heart as a guarantee for our eternal life, as a deposit. So Holy Spirit is in us. If you are not born again Christian, if you don't know the meaning of born again Christian, guess what? You don't have a Holy Spirit in your heart. That means you are not guaranteed to go to heaven. I will give you opportunity how to get to heaven guaranteed. Money back guaranteed. Really. Third thing is Holy Spirit is upon us. This can be non-believer or believer, anyone. Even on animal. And you might say, "Show me from the Bible." Oh yeah. Balak and Balaam. When God used donkey to speak to this prophet, that was the case in point. When was the last time you saw the donkey speaking to man? Oh, I know you. Some of you guys watched that old movie, Mr. Ed. Any of you guys remember Mr. Ed? If you remember that, you're old as me. This is a talking horse. And some of you say, "I've seen that thing on the Sesame Street." Oh, good for you. This donkey was speaking, carrying conversation with the prophet. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was upon that donkey. Gideon was, he's a wuss. And he was hiding. When was the last time you see the guy with the what you call that thing? Oh, I forgot the name. Now, flipping the wheat in the threshold. And he was doing inside the chamber. What would he do? I mean, he flipped it like this. Because there's no wind inside of chamber. You're supposed to do outside, so we let the wind blow all the things away from the wind. But he was that kind of coward, he was that kind of was, but God was using that man. And God's spirit was upon him, and he became a mighty man of God. Do you hear me? Samson was not a big muscle man. He was mighty, he was strong, because the spirit of God was upon him. This is the case. Joseph was known to the Pharaoh and his Pharaoh's servant because the Spirit of God was upon him, and they realized he is the man of the hour. Let's start at the verse, continue in verse 42. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. He clothed him with a garment and fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, that name, I'm not going to pronounce. And he gave him as a wife, Asenath, and daughter of that guy, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. In a matter of few hours, the promotion happened. So he moved from pit to pinnacle, from rags to riches, and from the dungeon to the step of throne. We find that three things happened to him. Number one, Pharaoh gave Joseph blank check financial authority by giving him his signet ring. Joseph's hands by now is callous and hard because of the work he had to do as a slave. Now his hand is adorned with the very Pharaoh's signet ring, which is just about like a MasterCard or American Express with unlimited amount. How would you like to go out shopping with that kind of credit card? The entire wealth of Egypt was behind that credit card. He could make any transactions. Yet, he remembered the time when his hand was tied, when his legs and his feet were tied on the feather, and he was even injured. According to Psalm 5, verse 18, his leg was injured because of the feather in the prison. Second aspect is Joseph also received a whole new wardrobe to match his royal authority given to him. Remember the coat of many colors he had received from his father. When he showed the last time to his brothers, it was torn from him in violence, and it was defiled with the sheep's blood and as evidence of his death. And the last time when he had a garment, it was taken away from him by the hands of an adulterous woman who made a sexual advance. Now he is wearing the royal robe as second in command of the entire Egypt. Third aspect I find is Joseph is given a new company car, or no, preferably government car, with a bodyguard to go with that. His license plate, his chariot license plate, has a number 2. Golden chariot. Didn't go into his head. He realized it is from God. From outside, Joseph's promotion looked like an overnight success. Nowadays, with the dot-com companies, internet companies going in from nothing to overnight success. Good example is Google. All right, everybody use the Google when it comes to searching the internet. When they go into the open stock market, guess what? Each employee became an instant millionaire. They were making $50,000 or $40,000, and all of a sudden, their stock option became $2 or $3 million at no time. Instant overnight success. However, how long the Google's been around? How long those employees been working? How long Joseph's been there in Egypt? From age 17, when he was stood in front of Pharaoh, he was 30. For 13 years, God was chiseling him into the image of Jesus Christ, his son. Verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, in seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the field which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. If I were Joseph, soon as I walk into that prime minister office, I would bark my first order. Bring that Mrs. Potiphar in handcuffs, preferably heavy duty, and shackled on her ankle. He could revenge Mr. Potiphar and Mrs. Potiphar and Chief Butler. But there's not one verse mentioned about revenge. This is the foundation of what we are going to see in chapter 50 of Genesis. Joseph extend grace to the other people. Come to think of it, you know, remember all the nerd and geeks in the high school? Now we call them boss. See, you never know when the table's going to turn. Verse 50, and Joseph were born two sons. To Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of that guy, priest of On, bore to him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. From his Egyptian wife, he fathered two sons. First one is Manasseh, second one is Ephraim. First one, the meaning of his first one is forgetful. Second one is fruitful. Folks, there's a good point we need to catch here. We cannot be fruitful until we have forgotten ugly past. Okay? Listen carefully, please. We cannot be fruitful in God until we've forgotten the past that causing us to stumble or causing us to be bitter. We can be slighted by some ugly remark. We can be remembered as something we've done wrong. Whatever that is, if you have unforgiving heart in your unforgiving aspect in your heart, you will never get to be fruitful in God. You and I must put away the unforgiving heart, you know, ugly past, and move on. There's no other way around. Let me put it this way. Hell on earth is nothing more than ugly past reminding us to dwell in the past. But we can also experience heaven on earth by remembering that we are new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things are brand new. Let's continue verse 53. The 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and 7 years of famine began to come. As Joseph had said, famine was in all the land, and in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to the Pharaoh for bread. And then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, whatever he says to you, do. Famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouse and sold to the Egyptians. The famine became severe in the land of Egypt, so all the country came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because famine was severe in all the lands. This opens up the door for what we're going to see in the next chapter. Because Joseph believed the God's prediction, he faithfully followed, and he could save this country. And we are going to see more in upcoming chapters. Let's make application. Number one, during the waiting period, trust God without panic. During the waiting period, trust God without panic. We must learn to count on God to handle those who forget us or abandon us. God is in control. We may think that God lost his control. He never loses his control. Second point, during the time of affliction, let God encourage our heart without fear. During the time of affliction, let God encourage our heart without fear. 13 years of relenting the affliction Joseph had to go through. During this time, he could be in the bitterness, he could be in discouragement, could be imprisoned him more than the prison in a physical way. However, he depended on God without fear, and he encouraged himself in God. How did he do it? Because he focused on God. Third application is, during the time of reward, thank God without pride. During the time of reward, thank God without pride. If you are going through a difficult time, you may say, dawn never comes. If you are going through this darkness in your life, you may think that this is never going to end. It will end when the time comes. And you may say, well, when the dawn comes, when the bright sunshine comes into my life, I will thank God. Guess what? When that comes, when the time comes, your thankful heart may disappear, may vanish like a morning mist. If you are not going to thank God during the time of difficulty, you will never thank God when the time is good. Because we have a tendency to forget God during the time of abundance. So if you are in the time of difficulty, thank Him right now. Let's stand up and pray.